You know, we often talk about getting resources for people struggling with a mental illness, but what we don't hear about are the children who act as caregivers for their own parents who live with a mental illness. Montreal filmmaker Megan Durnford saw this as a problem, so she made a documentary featuring three people who grew up as child caregivers.
It can be a lot with mom in school, but, like, thankfully she's not super needy right now, and I help her when I'm able to.
Yeah.
You know, if something happened with her, I don't care about my essay. Like, I'm going to do whatever she needs me to do because her mental health is more important than my grade for this class.
That's the voice of Jesse Boxer, one of three people featured in the documentary I Am Still Your Child. Vaughn Allen's also in the film. Vaughn's mother struggled with schizophrenia. She died more than 20 years ago. And Vaughn joins me in studio. Thanks for coming in, Vaughn.
Oh, you're very welcome. Hi.
Hi. So I just came from the film. I've just finished watching it. It's pretty emotional.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your story. What was it like growing up with a mother with schizophrenia?
It was tough. My mom... When you're growing up, like, my mom had problems even before I was born, I've sort of subsequently found out. So she was mom when I was a little kid. And it was only as I got older, probably around 9, maybe even 10, that her problems, I think her ability to hide her problems from me diminished. And I was an only child. It was just me and my mom. And then her ability to sort of want to talk to me more about it, to be more open about it, also increased. But at the same time, her situation was getting tougher. So she was having nervous breakdowns and going, being hospitalized for a while. And so she would sometimes disappear for a few days, a few weeks. And then, you know, she'd be back and she'd be mom. And it was, in hindsight, it was a more disruptive upbringing. At the time, I knew we were poor. I knew we were struggling. I didn't know that things were, like, quote unquote, wrong with my mom, really, until I became an early teenager. And I sort of realized she's not really like other moms. Mm-hmm. She's smart. She's capable. And then sometimes she's not. So it was a unique upbringing. And there wasn't anybody to talk to about it either.
No. There's this line that you say in the film just came back to me. It's something like poverty, bankruptcy, schizophrenia,
yeah,
all three together. That was rough. I mean, that's rough.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've, particularly as an adult, I get sometimes stunned by the courage it must have taken my mom to be trying to raise a kid, having these issues. And then also because we declared bankruptcy around when I was 12 or 13, and then we were on welfare in Ontario. So she was trying to navigate a somewhat dysfunctional social service system then, mm-hmm, and in many ways has gotten much worse now. And I don't know how she did it, and she did it without an ombudsman or an advocate. I was too young. There wasn't anybody else. My mom and dad split when I was very, very young, like
Although
under 5.
You talk about the spaghetti incident in the film as a time when you did call your dad in. So
yes,
it does seem like maybe once in a while he was able to help you.
Yeah, I think I was lucky for some of that stuff, is my dad was in my life. I wasn't living with him, but he was in my life, and through sort of the separation agreement, I would see him fairly regularly. So he was somebody there that I could, when things got really bad, particularly when my mom was hospitalized, I could stay with. So I wasn't being, you know, put into foster care.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's kind of remarkable that your mother was able to keep you.
And I really wonder about that. Again, it's one of those things where, like, as a kid, I have memories of social workers coming into our house, and our house was pretty crappy. Like, our apartment was pretty crappy. And I know I was embarrassed by it a lot, but these, you know, strangers, from my point of view, would come in and sort of evaluate. And I have no idea to this day, like, was it close that somebody was like, this kid should be somewhere else,
yeah,
or was it not? I have no idea.
Uh-huh.
It's those things that, particularly when you're a little kid or even just a kid, you don't have the context unless somebody really sits you down and talks to you about it. And for the most part, I mean, my mom was pretty open about some of what she was going through, again, into my teen years. But things like that, I had no idea.
Now, you're a graphic artist,
yeah,
and you wrote a book about it, which is featured in the film The Road to God Knows. How did that, or did that help you sort of somehow process some of this stuff? Because this is, like, really tough stuff for a 9-year-old,
yeah,
a 12-year-old. Even as an adult, it must be hard to process.
Yeah, well, it was certainly tough to kind of revisit it, but in a way, particularly after my mom died and I sort of set on drawing and what have you, I knew for my, that was my first book, so particularly for a first story, I wanted to do something that was really personal to me. And at that time, looking around, there wasn't anything else like that out there. So I thought, this might be the kind of story that's worth telling. You know, it's fictionalized, so the main character is a girl named Marie, not me, so it's sort of a fictionalized biography or autobiography, but that allowed me to play with a bit of time and compress certain events. But yeah, for the most part, all of it is true, except for me fictionalizing some of my friends a little bit.
Yeah, of course. That's why they're still your friends, probably. So one of the things that's really brought up a few times in the film is how when you have a parent who struggles with mental health issues, that affects your own mental health as a child. How has that affected your own mental health or even just worrying about your own mental health?
Yeah, I think worrying, I've probably been luckier, and it's one of those things, like especially with schizophrenia, as more data comes out, it seems to be more of a genetic disease than anything else. Mm-hmm. So I remember, particularly in my 20s, kind of wondering because my recollections of my mom were lots of moments, like days, weeks, months of lucidity, and then ups and downs, like really just really bumpy and unpredictable. So very, very strange. And also her sense of reality, particularly with that disease, was very, very tough. So, I mean, certainly things I knew she told me didn't happen, but then there were other allegations, particularly like sexual abuse and stuff that may have happened and may not have happened. It's impossible to disentangle. And in that case, everybody is dead. So there's just no way to know. And so for myself, particularly at that time, it was tough. And I worried about it a bit. But as you get older and you kind of navigate your own life and what have you, it's okay. Mm-hmm. So certainly because with my mom, there's a difference between being unhappy, being discouraged by events, and being devastated by them. Mm-hmm. And I have memories of my mom not being able to get out of bed. Like I'd get up to go to school, get my own breakfast, off I go, come home, and she'd still be in bed. And it's just, she had anxiety issues on top of everything else. And then when you throw in depression, she also had migraines. And then I think what's important to say, too, is that her physical health, particularly into her 40s, and she died at 48, and she died very young.
Pretty young, yeah.
That also started to play an increasing role in, you know, sort of all of the difficulties. So she's not only dealing with a mental illness and trying to, again, navigate a social system and get the help that she needs, and she was able to do some of that, but then her nutrition was awful. She gained a lot of weight. I have vivid memories of, you know, she lost teeth, so, you know, she couldn't smile properly anymore. So it was just, you throw all of this stuff together, and it sort of means that your sense of dignity, your sense of self-esteem really diminishes, and you're getting hit from what you're struggling with, and then you're getting hit from an outside, all these other events that are happening around you, and particularly poverty. It's really tough.
I mean, all these things that you're talking about, poverty, mental illness, and kind of, you know, letting yourself go, fearing your own mental illness, these are all really taboo subjects, and you are speaking about them super openly. Why is it important? Why did you decide to do this? Like, what do you want people to know?
I think really the bottom line is that a mental illness, any mental illness, is just that. It's an illness. It's a disease. It's like cancer. And the people who have it, it's not because they screwed up. It's not that they've made personal decisions and they haven't taken personal responsibility for their actions. It's dumb luck. And it's bad luck. And I think the worst thing that people can do is be scared of it. And in a way, because of the way I grew up, it is scary, but a lot of things are scary. A lot of diseases, a lot of things that go wrong with our bodies and, you know, in just the physical sense can be really scary and can be really difficult. But it didn't mean my mom was any less loving. It didn't mean she was any less compassionate or empathic or anything. She was, in her own way, a remarkable human being. And I still find to this day, the thing I find most unfair about it is she died when I was 20. So I never got to know her as an adult. Mm-hmm. I came to art late. She never saw me draw. I've been married for 20 years. She's never seen me, never met my wife. Like, this stuff is, all of these things are, you know, some of the costs that any illness, but mental illness, you know, can sort of extract on people, on human beings, on families, and it's tough, and it's not fair. And I still, you know, I mean, the big reason to get involved in the film and do the graphic novel is to sort of help share her story and to tell people, yeah, there are scary moments. I'd be lying if my mom didn't scare me at times. Like, there were really terrifying things. Spaghetti incident is one, you know, she basically lost it and went crazy for a little while. And don't use that word lightly, but she scared the crap out of me when I was about 11 years old and started smashing things and what have you. But that was a very small microcosm of what her entire situation was. And honestly, when you go through this, it gets less scary. So the first nervous breakdown, very scary. You know, the first episodes that she had, schizophrenic episodes, very scary. The fifth, the sixth, less scary. It just is. You get more experienced with it. And at the same time, I think the lucky thing for me as a kid, I was getting older. So it got easier.
It's just a really compelling story, Vaughn, and you tell it super, you tell it in a wonderful way here in person, but also in the film. Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, you're very welcome.
My guest is Vaughn Allen. He's one of three people featured in the documentary I Am Still Your Child. There's a free screening of the film tonight. It's at Oscar Peterson Concert Hall at 7 o'clock. That's at Concordia, at Loyola. There's going to be a panel discussion with the cast and crew. Our Laureen Pindera is leading that. And it's online. It's part of our Absolutely Quebec film series here of CBC Montreal, and we will tweet out that link. It's really excellent.